A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey kids, look out for swearing in this episode and for our announcement about our January 2024 Sacred Reading Kit later this week.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Goodwin.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
Today we're reading Chapter 6 of Battle Magic.
Let's grab your cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's rescue a prisoner.
We don't care about the rest of them.
Yeah. We didn't make a personal connection with them over the past 5 days, so they can rot for all we care.
Yeah, so the next 5 days don't go very well because the garden got burned down and none of our friends are happy about it. We also find out that Inksha has surrendered to whatever country we're in, to Yenjing, which does not bode well for the God King. Then they finally plan to leave and they're going to meet with a trader caravan. Briar gets up in the middle of the night and realizes that Evie is gone. He goes and he finds her and she is trying to break into the wall. She's trying to break into the building where Parahan's cage is, and she's trying to pull the stones out of the wall and she can't, and he helps her and realizes that the reason she can't is because there's rice in the mortar, and they manage to get the stones pulled out, and then they go and they unlock Parahan's chains with Briar's lockpicks, and they pour some magic stuff in there so that like nobody will find like their magic or anything. And then Briar fashions him some shoes out of palm leaves. And they're like, you go that way, we're going this way, nobody meet up. That's how you do it. As happy as he is to have Parahan free, he's very, very worried because Rosethorn. He doesn't want to put her in any more danger.
Put her in jeopardy, yeah. She's a delicate flower, everyone knows.
I just love the description of Rosethorn as a delicate flower.
Clearly. I mean, everyone, yeah.
That's why she's called Rosethorn. Yeah, so then the next day, they pack up their stuff, and they're heading out. They get stopped at the gate, because they're inspecting for an escaped prisoner. I don't remember if they specify, but I think Rosethorn asks the Mistress of Protocol, and because they've become, they're now on friendly terms, she gives Rosethorn more information than she probably is supposed to. Yeah, they find out that Parahan is gone, and Briar and Evie are like, oh my, the Emperor will be displeased.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope they catch him.
Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter.
Man, the idea of like, it's not exactly like genetically modifying a plant, but it kind of is, to make that rose for Weishu, sort of a red and yellow streaked bloom that is like completely resistant to like pretty much any sort of sickness that can affect like a plant, is kind of fucking like nuts. Will also kill any insects that try to eat it. That sounds like some sort of fucking like super flower, you know? We should get Monsanto on the line and give them some ideas, you know. I think they'd appreciate that one. And also that it'll only reproduce from the seeds, not cuttings. Like that's kind of also a genetically modified organism
I
thing.
was gonna say that's a thing that like actually exists.
Yeah, and like is it? I think it's also Monsanto. Yeah, like their seeds, like you have to use their seeds because that's the only way it'll grow because you can't. They don't spread like seeds naturally.
I know that mom and dad have talked about how there are, this is a little bit different, but like on the same lines, talked about how fruits that you can buy like in the grocery store, if you plant the seeds, they don't grow. Or
Yeah.
like they'll grow into a plant, but they don't
Have
fruit.
fruit. Yeah.
Yeah. My dad was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that they were like modified
Modified.
to get to this
One
point so that you
100
cannot grow
percent.
your own.
Yeah. You have to buy the seeds every year. It's too much. It's crazy. We just let them do it. Not that I'm like, you know, a fucking eco-anarchist or anything, but like it's pretty wild that we're allowing people to manufacture plants that can only grow out of the seeds that they're making. Like Evie challenging Briar to a race. He's like, it's very much like me. If she thinks I'm gonna run, she may think again. Like it ain't happening. I'm sorry.
But you realize why she did that? I had to read this chapter like two or three times before I went, oh, I just figured it out.
She talking to Parahan or something? Like
I am confident that she totally knew that he would refuse because it says, for a moment, when they reached their pavilion, Briar thought Evie was walking away from his bedchamber. Then he decided she'd simply been chasing her lively orange cat, Apricot. None of the maids were present to scold if the cats climbed the lacquered cabinets, tables, and chairs. Rosethorn hoisted the cat called Raisin over one shoulder and said, "Start packing," before she sat down at a table to write messages. This is when she steals his lockpicks. So when he gets there, he's like, "Wait, is Evie like leaving my room?" And then he's like, "Oh no, she's just chasing around the cats."
Yeah.
No, she is leaving his room. And she's leaving his room because she stole his lockpicks, because later she's like, "I stole your lockpicks," and this is when she does it. So I'm pretty
Damn.
confident that when she says, "Race you there," she knows he's gonna refuse,
Right.
and this gives her an excuse to get there before them, and they won't know.
That's crazy.
That makes sense. She's
Yeah,
smart,
I see it.
child. Yeah.
But also, he's like, yeah, right, I'm not doing that.
Yes, absolutely. I love the conversation between him and Rosethorn, and he's like, "I'm going to walk with my favorite teacher."
So cute.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's just like, "This is bullshit."
But also, like, you say, no, I'm just kidding. And then you, like, run full tilt and you absolutely blow the kid out of the water. That'll teach you to challenge an adult. Ooh, I love Parahan. I will talk about this later because it's just filling me with anxiety. But when they're saying goodbye in Parahan kisses Rosethorn on the forehead and says, "You played the part of the agreeable traveler well. But wildflowers do not last long here. I am glad to see you escape." It's haunting and also like makes you realize that if Emperor Weishu really, 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 really wanted to, he could just say, "Oh, you're staying here. Like you know, I like you. You're really good with plants. You're staying here and serving me." And it's like, "Do I have to?" "Yes." "For how long?" "Yes." Well, he's literally like the king of an entire big ass empire. Like you can't say no.
This is why I brought up the story that Pasco tells in Magic Steps about Yasmin dancing for the Emperor. It's like, oh yeah, she danced only for the Emperor of Yanjing for a year. Like going back and rereading that after reading Battle Magic, I'm like, did she really choose to do that though? Or
Oof.
did he keep her there?
Yeah. Spooky.
But I also think it's interesting to compare to Baronine, because that's Baronine's whole shtick, is like she's
Yeah.
trying to keep them there. But she seems to have like either less power to like do that directly, or she has the personality where she's like, no, I will do everything I can to con you into staying, but I won't actually directly force you.
I think she had a lot more considerations to worry about, being that Emelon is right there.
That's
and
true.
Sandri being the de facto, like inheritor of the Empire, essentially.
Yeah, like the heir.
Because Duke Vedras, yeah, the heir. Like, she's essentially the heir to Duke Vedras.
Yeah.
And it's like, he would not take that lying down.
That's true, that's true. She's already at war with Yenching. She probably doesn't want to go to war with Emelon.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more considerations, because on the other hand, you look at these three, they're already in the Empire. Who's actually going to make a fuss about them, aside from, like, the temple? Mm-hmm. And what's the temple going to do? I mean, they're, you know, they're pretty powerful, but they're not a country.
Right.
Like,
she does what she does to Triss, or has done what is done to Triss. So she does do a lot to try and keep them there, but she underestimates them. And I'm sure that Wei Shu will also. We just haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah, not yet, but yeah, there's definitely a big power difference between them.
Yeah.
Between just Briar, Evie and Rose Thorn here in Wei Shu compared to the four of them in Namorn. And then immediately after that, Evie's like, flings herself at him and is like, I hate that you're captive. And he says, I don't like it either. But what can we do? We're just little cats in his big house full of lions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just such a good quote. He's very quotable. Lots of very good ones.
Harahan's just dropping the metaphors.
I like Briar saying, I look nice in all the silk robes. True, but there's nothing for comfort like the clothes Sandri made for me. Oh.
Also very true.
I also liked Evie's cats taking over the divot in the bed where she was. They, you know, need to crawl over there and steal the warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I do that, I like wake up at night, get out of bed. I come back. There's either a mojo or a cat where I was sleeping. Every time. Also, Rose Thorn snoring.
Mm-hmm.
Described as a little buzzing snore that he thought was so funny. Reminds me of my wife. I'm the one with the CPAP machine because I snore like a motherfucker. But maybe once an hour, she'll like let out like a little snore, and she'll like wake herself up and be like, did you just snore? And I'm like, no, you just snored. You woke yourself up. And she's like, no, I didn't. I'm like, yes, you did.
Oh,
I got a
funny.
Whole machine that keeps me from snoring. You're the one that snored. You woke me up. Evie, once again, showing how like traumatized she is by lack of food, eating her bowl of rice with stuff in it and just like cleaning it and then like licking down the bowl with her like her finger and stuff down the bowl. Like, she's been through it. Briar having some good ass catnip. I like that. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know? I wouldn't have thought about it, but yeah, of course the plant mage has good catnip.
Of course.
Kind of makes you think, you know, what if they got a hold of weed and got made some like really dank strains, you know?
Oh my gosh. Somebody please write the modern day version of the circle just so that we can have Briar like running a dispensary.
He totally would.
I also liked when they're talking about letting him know that Parahan escaped, and everyone's like, and Bart is like, oh, that's bad. His Imperial Majesty won't like that.
Landing on a little thick there.
And then telling Evie, hey, act cool.
Yeah, go drink some tea. You're acting like a fucking, like you're guilty. Which is really good advice if you're ever like, go distract yourself with something to get the heat off of you.
Mm-hmm.
My first one is the sentence, they rose at dawn for Rose Thorn and Briar to pretend friendship. I feel we've all had to do that before. We have to deal with people we don't like. I'm like, I'm going to pretend to be nice to you. I'm just going to put on a friendly smile. Everything's fine. We're all cool. You killed a bunch of people.
It's fine. I do that all the time.
Let me tell you about this mute I murdered with some thorns.
My sister just like killed hundreds of people when we were 10. It's totally chill.
Yeah, like pirates tried to attack us and we were like, you know what? We're going to Yeah, so I get you, man. I've murdered a bunch of people before as well. So I mean, it happens. It happens.
Totally not a PTSD-inducing
Totally
situation at
not. I
all.
mean, that's something that I love to do. I mean, they weren't perfect, so we had to get rid of them. I get you, man. My next one is when the Emperor leaves and they watch him ride off with his mages and guards, each feeling a tremendous amount of relief they dared not express. When you don't have to be around those people that you're faking a friendship with, like, oh, hey, that person's gone finally. Oh my gosh,
Yeah, you
I'm
could.
tired of pretending that I am friends with this person.
Because it's
So
so much work.
it is. Or it just reminds me of a lady at work. Like, she's so nice. She's the sweetest person I probably have ever met, and she's just always so nice. Like, hey, how are you? Just like. I feel bad because I end up avoiding her now because I'm like, nobody can be this nice. Like, you're overly nice about everything. Like, you're so nice, but I feel drained after I'm around you because you're just so nice. I feel bad. When Tarahan kisses Rose Thorn's forehead and says, "You played the part of the agreeable traveler well, but wildflowers don't last very long here. I'm glad to see you escape." Like, oh,
It's true.
you're lucky that
I
wildflowers
said that one earlier when you weren't here.
are here. Well, I wasn't here. My bad.
No,
Well,
you're good. But
I
yeah,
think it
no,
was.
it's both being thankful but also a warning.
Yeah.
Like in case she didn't know.
I just like seeing Parhan flirt with her. I think it's very cute. But at the same time, like, back up, she's taken, sir.
She has a wife. Leave her alone.
Already talked about that one. I like the part where Briar is picking on the locks. Because watching Evie try to do it, it's like, no, yeah, you grew up on the streets, but you're not very good at this. Move over. It was tricky, but he was far more patient with locks than he was with many human beings. He had to be. It was life or death growing up. So Briar being extra careful by having Evie pour water into the locks to make sure that his magic's not found in it, even though they're probably not going to be able to find it anyway, because they cannot read ambient magic at all. So
Yeah.
I had a dislike. Briar and Evie finally get Parahan free, and he's like, "Hey, don't tell people that we helped you." And Parahan's like, "Well, there's only so much a man can bear under torture." It's like, shit. And he's not wrong.
I think we know where that's going.
He's gonna get found. They're gonna. Because I know in the Will of the Empress, it talked about how Evie and everybody got tortured. So I have a feeling they're going to get tortured because they helped Tarahan. So we'll see if that's what goes down. But yeah, it's not looking great. I like where Briar made shoes for Tarahan. I
Yeah,
thought
that's
that
really
was
cool.
pretty cool. Like, you think plants, but you don't think shoes when you think plants. So that I thought that was pretty cool. So
I like that he like gets the leaves and he's like, "Here, these are gonna be shoes." And Parahan's like, "These are gonna fall off my feet." Bart's like, "Give me some credit."
right?
You just wait. You just wait.
I am a fully accredited mage. Have been for 2 years.
I like the part where Briar reminds Evie that Rose Thorn died. Evie's like, "She's tougher than either of us." And he's like, "No, she isn't. She died. I was there. I don't want her dying anymore. It's bad for her. It's why she talks slow."
I love that he says it like like smoking or something, you know, like
it's
it's a
like she got
habit.
sick. It's bad for her. We don't need her dying anymore. It's like a sickness or illness that she can just get over. It's bad for her. We don't need that happening again. Like,
yeah. Rose Thorn, like they had an intervention at some point. Rose Thorn, we got to kick this dying habit.
We got to kick this habit. Like,
this is an intervention. We can't
you
have dying
once
anymore.
Made you talk slow sometimes and you get sick so easy. So please don't do it again, because I think dying might actually kill you this next time. So please don't do that anymore.
I like need that quote written somewhere. I think dying might actually kill you.
Yeah. So please don't do it again, okay? Because it was really rough on you last time. So don't do it again. Evie goes and gets her pack, and it holds her proper mage kit and her stone alphabet. So she's still carrying her alphabet, and it's so cute. Like, she loves her alphabet so much. And it's the first thing that she's proud of. I think it's the first thing that she ever got from somebody. So, and mm-hmm. it means that much to her that she's still carrying it around. Like, aw. When they're packing, Briar had given one of his trees to the Emperor as a birthday present. Evie was fairly certain that Briar regretted giving the gift, since he loved his trees like she loved her cats. And he had not liked the way that the Emperor treated his people and would not like one of his trees in the Emperor's hands because of that. He loves his trees so much. Like, mm-hmm. oh no, I gave this horrible man one of my trees and now it has to stay here. Damn it, that sucks.
Well, I have a Hunger Games connection.
Ooh.
At the very bottom of page 87, it says that Emperor Weishu is wearing his rose tucked into the overlapping pieces of his armor. And it remind me of President Snow, because he's always carrying a rose around.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Rose Thorn on page 89, like, secretly heals a tree. Like, there's a tree that's not doing so well. And she's like, we're not going to let anybody know that you're sick, because I don't want any more plants getting burned down.
Or people.
Or people.
Ooh, yeah. I think it's more the people than the tree, honestly.
I don't know. I think for her, because, like, with the roses, like, she felt it in her sleep.
That's true. And she begged for the rose to not be murdered. So mm-hmm. you might be right. Little column A, little column B.
Yeah. I love that when Briar finds the cats in Evie's bed and Evie's gone, he tells them, when I catch her, she's dead.
And it starts licking itself.
They're like, yeah. We don't care. But that's nice.
That's a cat for you.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me so sad every time the cats are mentioned, though. Like, I love the kitty cats so much, and they're all gonna die. I'm so sad. I'm not ready.
Wait, who said the cats died?
Because she doesn't have them in the previous book, in the Melting Stones book.
Maybe she left them back at home.
No, she was sad and did not want a cat anymore. And she's like, at the end of the very end of the book, Miriam's like, oh, look, here's some cats. And she's like, it might be okay to have a cat again. I may have recovered from this. No, so, no.
I mean, maybe she let him go in a forest. I don't know why
them rescuing Parahan, they're going to get tortured. And the best way to torture Evie is to murder her cats in front of her.
No. God, like, don't say that. Why would you say
I feel like that's going to happen. Like, oh, you love your cats? That's what you love most in the world? Here, let me murder them in front of you.
No, I'm just going to remain ignorant and say, no, there's no way that's going to happen.
Okay, and then on page 94, he's talking to his sisters, like, in his head. And he imagines mm-hmm. Daja saying, what's the matter, thief boy? Lost your nerve? And then out loud, he's like, I have plenty of nerve.
And I'm sure Abby's like, what?
I know,
what
right?
What are you talking about, you weirdo? No one said anything to you.
He's been talking. He's been mind speaking to his sisters for years. He's still not totally over it, okay? He's just used to constantly being in conversation with three other people. It's like being on your phone all the time.
Yeah. He's still talking to the voices in his head, even though the voices aren't there anymore.
Poor Briar. I love when he realizes that the rice is in the mortar, and he says, "And you think plant magic is useless?" To which Evie responds, "You mean it isn't?"
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I'm liking Evie a lot better in this book because she's not the main focus. She's so snarky, and I love it. But being in her head, I'm like, I want to tear my hair out. I'm like, oh my gosh, Evie, I love you, but oh my god.
I also like when he tells her that the thing in the mortar, that because he's like, what's in the mortar? And she's like, mostly limestone, something I can't feel. And then he's like, oh, that thing you can't feel is rice. And she's like, rice? Seriously? She's very indignant, and it's great. And then, like, Briar awakens some vines. Like, he grows the seeds with his magic so that they will, like, catch the stones to help keep things quiet and everything. And then afterward, he lets them go and, like, slink off and find lives of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of his bargain with them. Brittany mentioned the torture, because we talked about Parahan having scars.
Mm-hmm.
And Evie was like, oh, where do you get those scars from? And or she doesn't say scars. She's like, where do you get those? And Parahan's like, oh, I get my shoulders from my mother. But Goodwin was like, oh, well, it's probably because, like, he's, like, been raised as a warrior, but maybe some of those scars are also from torture. So,
yeah.
Fun.
Yay.
Fun, happy times.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or a message in the chapter. My theme is fear, because they are pretending to be friends with people because they can't really, they're not really in a position to like speak up, and they could get themselves killed or worse, maybe, I don't know. And they're also healing the trees in secret. And then Evie is afraid of not having another meal, so she's licking her bowl clean. And then everything that goes down with Parahan. Just lots of people being scared of stuff.
Yeah.
Mine was very similar. Silent suffering. Because everyone's like, just kind of like, Parahan has obviously been tortured and desperately wants to leave, but he's not going to be like explicit about it and be like, please get me out of here, please. He's kind of resigned to what like his life has become. Briar and Rosethorn are like they can't talk about their grievances with the Emperor. One, he's not there, but two, what good would it do? Like, the guy's right. clearly a psychopath, and like, you can't reason with that sort of person. Like, they're so mm-hmm. used to being in charge of everything that any sort of dissenting opinion just goes away. And if they speak out, that can happen to them.
Mine was complacency. I don't know if that's the right word. Because this whole time that they were helping Farahan escape, I was like, where are these guards at? And like, nobody is around. Where is everyone? And then even Farahan is like, yeah, they don't keep guard on any of the prisoners. So these people have become so complacent. They're like, everyone is afraid of the Emperor. No one would be stupid enough to go and try anything because everyone's scared of the Emperor. So why would they bother doing anything? So they've got so complacent that they're just like, everyone's too scared. We don't have to do our job because why would we need to? Because no one is stupid enough to do this. So I don't know.
No one would dare to do
no that. One would dare to go against the Emperor. Who would be stupid enough to do that? Briar and Abby, apparently.
Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter?
Mine, let me find it. Hold on. It was when Briar is like, yeah, I know I look good in these robes, but I don't want to be in these robes all the time. So I just want to have his level of self-confidence. Like, yeah, I know I look good. I know I'm awesome. Everything's cool. Like, I just want to have his level of confidence because I don't have that a lot of times. I want that.
I had a brilliant thought.
What's that?
We need to start like a circle of magic affirmations thing where you get sent like a daily affirmation and they're all just like quotes from the circle of magic. I almost said and they're all just Briar quotes because the other one that immediately popped into my head is of course I love me
yes.
I love me
yes.
So any of y'all who are looking for daily affirmations, you should add I love me to the list.
I love me.
And you know what? We love you too.
It's true. My personal magic was Briar saying, I try never to count on what strangers do or don't know.
Ooh, yes. That is a good one.
Yeah,
that was one of mine.
Do not assume that people don't know what you're talking about. Literally, this happens to me all the fucking time. And it's either one or the other. Like, so I'm Latino. I know Spanish. My English is really good, and so is my Spanish. But like, if I go to like, say, like a Mexican restaurant, and I'm with my white wife, and we're just talking, and I don't have an accent, we're just talk. But like, I think it's happened like to me just once. But someone was like talking about something. I think I ordered like flour tortillas instead of corn. And someone's like, why is that, like, in Spanish, one of the waitresses, not ours, was like, why is that brown guy eating a flour tortilla, like, in Spanish? And she's like, I don't know, it's weird. Like, I don't, like, I guess it's a little weird. It's not really that weird. It's fine.
It's not
whatever.
Weird.
But some people are a little elitist about corn tortillas instead of flour. And it's like, they both taste fucking good. Who cares?
Did you answer back to him in Spanish, this brown guy likes flour tortillas?
Yeah, I told her I like what I like. Me gusta lo que me gusta. ¿Por qué andan hablando de mí? Like, just, like, why? Like,
oh, I bet they were so embarrassed.
They just assumed that I didn't fucking know Spanish because my English was
Oh, you have a white wife, so you must not know Spanish.
No, yeah, I can't know Spanish, right? But yeah, it's like, don't assume, again, don't assume what people don't do or do not know, because you don't fucking know. And like, you hear stories about this all the time, or like someone that speaks like Mandarin goes to a
I have at
Chinese
least three
restaurant.
For you.
Yeah, it's so common. And it's like, don't talk shit about people when they're nearby in another language, because you don't know if they know it or not.
That was one of mine. I had two. I do want to point out, however, on page 101, Parahan's like, won't they be able to trace your magic? And Briar says, from what we've learned here, they couldn't trace ambient magic if they had torches and hounds. And so, like, Briar, like, a few pages ago, you were like, no. Like, don't count on what strangers don't know. But then he seems to, like, be completely turning it around. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my other one is I've been watching a lot of videos from Cinema Therapy, which is a YouTube channel that's a therapist and a filmmaker who watch movies and, like, psychoanalyze characters, and it's a lot of fun. And they in a couple of different episodes, they've talked about, quote, the yes and school of parenting. And I feel like, and like, why it can be a really good thing, because, like, they talk about it in Totoro and in My Neighbor Totoro, and how, like, one of his kids is like, I saw this, like, magical creature in the forest. And he's like, and he's not like, oh, sure, I'm sure you did. He's like, oh, really? Tell me all about it. And, like, runs with it. But I feel like we kind of get that from Briar here, because Evie's like, I'm going to break Parahan out. And he's like, okay, were you going to break down the whole wall or just make a hole in it? She's like, just make a hole in it. He's like, okay, then that's what we're going to do. But yeah, the yes and thing comes up a lot in, like, teacher trainings. And there's a lot of, I don't know, there can be a lot of benefit to it. So I try and keep that in the back of my mind. We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 7 of Battle Magic. It had been a long time since the rice she'd had at dawn. Evie did her best not to slop the bowl of chicken and lemon stew all over her face as she ate, but it was a near thing. She thought she might die happy when she saw the plate of spicy seminola cake that Briar had also brought. I love traitor food, she cried. Do you know, when I don't particularly want to eat, all I have to do is watch you devour whatever it is before you, and I feel hungry, Rosethorn remarked. Evie and Briar carried the empty dishes back to the trader washing tubs and did their share of washing up in thanks for the meal. By the time they returned to their chambers, Rosethorn had left in search of her meditation. I'll be back, Evie told Briar and the cats and Shimuri when she saw the woman was gone, unless you want to come along. Actually, you should. Briar, who had picked up one of his shakans, looked at her with suspicion. Go along where? I thought you would want a nap. At least he's quick enough to speak Shimuri, Evie thought. I have to talk to Rosethorn. Briar's lips went tight and his eyes went hard. You have to do no such thing. You heard her. She said meditation. She needs quiet. She needs to relax. All of that imperial carrying on was hard on her. Evie crossed her arms on her chest. I know that almost as well as you, Briar Moss. Maybe I'm not a brilliant, dung-nosed Nan Sure like some people, but I'm no paperwit either. You might think that I have something important to say, something she ought to know, even if I don't have a cartwheel of metal hanging around my neck. She marched out of the building, bound for the gate. It wasn't long before the tiny rocks on the path behind her let her know that he was following. She had found the stream and entered the wood before he said, Evie, stop. Look at me. She did. Don't pout, he ordered. I just don't think she needs to know we helped, you know. That isn't what I was going to say, Evie snapped. What I am going to say, she'll bite my head off if I wait too long to tell her. She set off down the stream bank again. You don't believe I care about her as much as you do. I know you care about her, he retorted, trotting along until he could walk beside her, or I would have just pushed you into the water. Do you think you could talk any louder? They heard Rosethorn call. Because I am reasonably certain that my meditations did not include the two of you squabbling like a nest full of birds. As they rounded a bend in the stream, they saw Rosethorn seated cross-legged on top of a large, flat boulder. He started it, Evie replied. I didn't ask him to follow me. He invited himself. I was trying to stop her, Briar said. What part of alone did either of you two not hear? Rosethorn wanted to know. I'm sorry, Evie said, climbing up until she was close enough to Rosethorn to whisper. Briar came to stand beside her. Bend down, please. Parahan told me something yesterday. This is the first time I think it's safe to tell you. Rosethorn frowned and leaned toward them. The three were so close that strands of Rosethorn's hair brushed Evie's head while her sleeve covered Briar's face until he held it back. The woman braced herself gently on Briar's shoulder. "He said the Emperor is going to Inxia to join the rest of the army that's been gathering there since Inxia surrendered," Evie whispered in soft Chimuri. "As soon as the Emperor gets there, he's going to invade Jiangxi. They're already near the border. He doesn't trust his generals anymore. He's going to lead the attack himself." Her legs hurt from standing on tiptoe when she was so tense. She lowered herself until she was flat-footed. Looking up again, she realized Rosethorn had covered her open mouth with her hand. She was stricken, and Evie had done it. "I'm sorry," Evie said, still whispering. "I know it was bad. I told you as soon as I thought it was safe. Briar didn't know. I was scared to say anything in the palace, not when I didn't know what had spells on it."
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
Well, I speak a little French, too. I don't know if you knew that.
Oui, oui.
Je suis une ananas, which means I am a pineapple. And that's all I got. Oh, no, omelette du fromage.
Omelette with cheese?
That's right. Well, you know French, too. Wow. Bonjour.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.